We are reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Let us hear God's word. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we begin, I just have to ask you to pardon my back. I kneel before God in worship. I kneel before God in worship for who he is, because he is the Creator, the Almighty, the one who is holy, 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 the one who defines love. So I kneel before God and worship him. But I kneel before God and worship him because of all that he has done in Jesus Christ. The living God created all that is, and he created it good, and he loved what he had made. And he called the people of his creation to him to be together with him always and forever. But even in that, his people wandered. His people turned from him. His people turned against him. His people rejected him. And yet even in that rejection, God remained faithful. God is always faithful because that is who he is. And so he called. He called after his people. He called them by name to come home to him, to be with him. And when they didn't return, God himself pursued them. He pursues us. And God came to this world. The Almighty, Holy, Awesome God came to this world, not in might and power, but in weakness and humility for our sake. And God became human in Jesus, born of a virgin, laid in a manger. And Jesus lived for us. And Jesus died on the cross for us. And Jesus rose again from the dead for us. And Jesus' sacrifice on the cross brings us forgiveness. Jesus' resurrection from the dead brings us life, life in abundance and life eternal. God calls us to receive his love in Jesus, to receive his grace in Jesus, to receive Jesus and life in him. I kneel before God and worship him because in Jesus I am forgiven. In Jesus I am saved. In Jesus I am one of God's children. And so I kneel before God and I worship him. The Apostle Paul wrote, for this reason, What was the reason? The reason was the gospel. The reason was the good news about Jesus that he had been writing about for the chapters before this passage. Because of the gospel, Paul knelt before God. Because of the good news about Jesus, Paul bowed down and worshiped God. Brothers and sisters, may we join Paul in worshiping God. Worship is an act in which we acknowledge God to be God, in which we acknowledge God to be Lord of all and Lord of my own life. Worship is praising God for who he is, but it is also praising God for all he has done for us in Jesus Christ. Worship is humbling ourselves before God's holiness. Worship is reveling in his love and thriving in his grace. Worship the Lord. Worship includes praise offered to God as we sing to his glory. Worship includes prayer as we talk with God. Worship includes God's word as we hear his word read, as we hear the Bible read, as we hear the Bible proclaimed. Worship includes response. We respond to all that God has done for us as we offer our lives to him. Sisters and brothers, let us worship the Lord. Worship involves our whole selves. Worship involves our hearts, and it is there where we bow our wills to God's will, his will before our own wills. In worship, we offer him our commitment and our devotion. And worship involves our emotions. This is not about emotionalism where our faith is grounded in how we feel. That's inherently dangerous. But the fact that Jesus died on the cross to forgive my sins, if that doesn't well up emotion in me, there's something wrong. Worship involves our hearts. Worship also involves our minds as we reflect on who God is, as we reflect on all that the Lord has done for us in Jesus. And as we consider and dig into and think about his word as it is read and proclaimed, and all that God says to us in that. Worship involves our hearts, it involves our minds, but it also involves our bodies. We take a posture in worship, and it means something. We bow ourselves before God in prayer, and it is a sign of us bowing our wills to God. He is Lord. We stand in his presence as we would stand in the presence of a monarch, because the Lord is present with us, so we stand before him. But we also kneel. Now, at St. Paul's, this building is not set up for kneeling. It's not part of our corporate worship stuff. But if you feel like kneeling in worship at any time while you're here, do it. Move to an aisle and kneel before the Lord. Don't block the aisles. That's dangerous. But kneel before God. And if anybody says anything to you that's not positive, come see me. We can kneel before the Lord. We can raise our hands in praise of God. Something else that we don't do a lot of here, but why not? I remember a time in my early teens being here at St. Paul's for a Christmas Day service. And I was sitting over where Shirley is sitting. And there was a man who was in the church that morning who had never been here before, and he was sitting right about where Muriel is. And there was a young family behind him, a young boy right behind him. And during the singing of one of the hymns, the man raised his hands in praise of God. And the dad of this man, or the boy behind him, watching him, just went. And the father of the boy took his arms and pushed them back down. I've had a number of people in the last several months, people of this church, say to me, that was such a powerful, powerful worship service. I felt like raising my arms in praise of God. And my response each time was, why didn't you? You don't have to, but please feel free if you are moved to raise your arms. Raise them out in reception of the grace God is giving you. Just raise them in praise if you feel moved. Worship involves our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. Worship the Lord. In a very real way, worship is talking with God. We've looked at talking with God through prayer, where we do most of the talking, and talking with God through the Bible, where God does most of the talking. Paul wrote here, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Because of the gospel of Christ, I worship God. Halfway through his letter, Paul offered this prayer in the context of what he'd written in the first two chapters, which was all about the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus. And so he offered this prayer from a place of worship. And from his knees, Paul prayed for followers of Jesus that they would join him in worshiping the living God. And the rest of this prayer, though not technically about worship, the rest of this prayer expresses that talking with God happens in worship. I pray that out of the glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Out of his glorious riches, that is everything that God is, everything that God has, and he takes that to strengthen you with his power. That is God's power. God gives his power to you. God gives his power to you that it might be in you and go through you to others. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Don't gloss over this. The living God dwells in your heart when you receive Jesus. This is the intimacy of our relationship with God in Christ. Jesus dwells in our hearts, not to possess us or control us, but to be with us, to share himself with us, to live out his love and his power in us and even through us. When we worship, when we truly open ourselves to God in worship, we know the power of God from his glorious riches because we know that Jesus dwells in our hearts. That's not an intellectual knowledge. We know because we experience. We experience Jesus' presence with us and even in us. So worship him. Worship him. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When we accept Jesus and he dwells in our hearts, then we are rooted and established in love because God's love dwells within us in Christ. And worship makes us more aware of God's presence, more aware of Jesus' indwelling love. And that leads us to want to worship even more. So in worship, we can know God's power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. How much does Jesus love you? More than can be measured. Paul used four dimensions to describe it. In worship, we can know the vastness of God's love for us, the vastness of God's love for you. In worship, we can know the intimacy of God's love for us, the intimacy of God's love for you. This love that surpasses knowledge, love that is bigger than knowledge, love that cannot be fully defined by knowledge, but love that must be received and experienced and lived. Worship the Lord. Worship him. In worship, we are more open to God's love in Jesus, to know and experience that love. And we can be filled with all the fullness of God. And I confess to you that I don't really understand what that means. Filled to the fullness of God. It is something that surpasses knowledge, but it is something we can know by experiencing his love and his presence in our lives. And that happens so much more in worship than any other place. Paul finished this prayer with a doxology, a word of praise, a word of glory. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. These verses are about worship. And they capture the truth of what we're looking at this morning. That when we offer ourselves to God in worship, he blesses us beyond what we ask for and even what we can imagine. But there's something in this. When we open ourselves completely wide open to God in worship, then we can receive the breadth of all he has to offer us. But when we open ourselves to worship only this much, that's all we can receive. That's all we've got room for. Worship is talking with God. It is a conversation with God. At times with words and in times without words. It is the give and receive of meaningful conversation. It is the growing of relationship that comes from meaningful conversation. In worship, we connect with God in deeper ways than we can in any other part of our lives. So worship him. Worship him and know his glorious riches, his strength and his power. Worship him and know that Christ dwells in your heart when you receive him. Worship him and know that you are rooted and established in God's love. Worship him and know how wide and long and high and deep is Jesus' love for you. Worship him and know the fullness of God dwelling in your life. Worship him. Worship him. Let's pray together. Our loving, holy God, we thank you for the gift of worship. The gift that allows us to open ourselves to you. And we thank you for the reasons to worship you. Who you are, that you are God, the creator of all things and the Lord of all, and you are worthy of all worship. But you are worthy of worship also for all that you have done. You are worthy of worship because of the gospel, because of the good news in Jesus by which you save us and make us your own. And we thank you for all that you give to us when we open ourselves to you in worship. Help us, Lord, to be open to you. Help us to trust you. Help us to be willing to take that risk of opening even our souls to you, that we might know the width and the length and the height and the depth of your love for us. Lord, we pray for this world that so needs to discover the glory of worshiping you. Lord, we pray for this city that so needs the grace and glory of worshiping you. And we pray for St. Paul's, that we so need that grace and glory that we find in worship. Help us, Lord, as your people, to be wide open to you as we worship you, week by week and even day by day. Our God, we pray your grace and blessing upon this church and our witness in this community and this city. And we thank you for the blessings of the people that are this church. This morning, Lord, we thank you for the 50th wedding anniversary celebrations of Sholto and Elizabeth. We thank you for that example to everyone else. We thank you for that glory and that joy, and we pray your blessing upon them for many more years to be. Bless us all, Lord, with commitment. Bless us all with a desire to honor you. Our God, we pray all of this in Jesus Christ. Amen.